All right, so we're back. Bill 2014, this is our final session of the day on Channel 9 Live. There's going to be a great session coming up after this, which is actually the Orleans session. Sorry about that. I'm sure when you saw Anders, everyone was like, Anders, Mary Jo Foley's like, Anders is now doing, you know, Orleans. But so glad to be back. We have Chris Anderson, Tim Heuer's back with us. We just couldn't get enough XAML, man.
Awesome.
So what we wanted to do was talk about, like, really kind of focus in on XAML and performance. And I know you have some really elegant ways of expressing what's interesting to you and what it means. So let's start there.
Sure. I'll try to wax poetically for a few minutes.
Thank you.
It's interesting to look at XAML in kind of the historical perspective of why we built it. You know, I heard Hamid earlier, and I think he was telling part of the story, which is, you know, XAML's history really started with WPF, which was created at a time where machines were getting faster and faster. And one of the things that we really wanted to do back in the, I hate to say it, but Vista days, which did happen, we all love it, was that we wanted to differentiate between a high-end machine and a low-end machine. And so we wanted to create a framework that let you build and take advantage of a super powerful computer. And we wanted to be able to do everything. And so we integrated video and media and text and graphics and all of this stuff into the framework and made, you know, data binding pervasive so you can animate the X position on a point, and all of this stuff was integrated deeply into the framework. And as we moved that idea from WPF into Silverlight, into Silverlight Mobile, and then eventually into the XAML that we know and love in WinRT, we kept a lot of those same principles in place. And what those have created is an incredibly powerful, rich framework, which in some ways has challenges to hit some of the performance goals on these machines, where for the last 5 years, we've been getting slower and slower and slower. Like, while these machines have gotten more capable, the batteries haven't gotten that much bigger, and we can't even run the CPUs at full speed or else we tank the battery. And so you end up with this world where the total compute power you have to build your applications becomes less every year that we go. So this year, you know, with the new phone 8.1, we are now trying to run in 512 megs of RAM, and we heard about the update 1, which got, you know, full Windows down to a 1 gig machine.
Nice.
And those have been pushes, and we know that next year we're going to have to target even smaller phones and even smaller tablets to get to all of these places we need to go. And so the question becomes, what's the most experience you can deliver per watt? And so as we use XAML and as we use these frameworks, the questions that we need to ask ourselves kind of need to start changing. Not how quickly can you build it, but rather what kind of experience can you deliver without tanking the battery and without destroying the person's machine?
Absolutely.
Which is different model.
Yep, and that's sort of why we had talked about going native, if you will.
Yeah.
The fact
yeah.
that XAML on WinRT is native.
Yes.
And XAML in WPF is not. So let's keep, I mean, this is great. For people who don't know, obviously, Chris Anderson is the father of XAML, right? You created XAML. Is that fair?
With
a team.
With about 200 to 400 of my closest friends.
Fair enough, but let's yes. be honest. You were an architect of the original version of XAML that
yes.
was built for WPF.
Yes.
And when you look at where we were then, and you mentioned where we are today, where we actually have several versions of XAML that are running in the wild.
There's a lot, yes.
There's still a lot of work to do to get that efficiency per watt,
yes.
or experience per watt.
Yes.
So that's kind of would be a nice thing to talk about today. Now, from a pragmatic perspective, developers can actually today, with what they have, write code and organize code and architect their code to be memory and battery efficient, battery friendly.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things they should think about
with
what they have today?
There's you know, all the past builds are also available on Channel 9. And there was at least one great talk last year that was all about optimizing list view. And it was an entire hour that was basically about optimizing list view. And in 8.1, we added just a new event, which is the content container.
Container content changed. Affectionately, we call CCC.
Yes. And you can get about double the performance out of your list view just by using that event instead of using the traditional kind of fully templated repeated version of it, because you just can plug right in and then directly manipulate the XAML tree as you go through each individual element. And those little changes can have this drastic impact.
Okay.
In the Visual Studio, the new update that we have, there's a bunch of new performance profiling tools which just let you go and look at the total CPU usage and the total battery usage for your app when you run on mobile devices. And so just using those tools, can drastically improve the performance there. So we're doing stuff both, you know, in the platform, which on phone 8.1, we did a bunch of work to slim down the size of the XAML, the size of the trees we create, and the usage of some of the heavier features. But then we also have better tools to just analyze your app and see what you're doing.
Absolutely.
We want, I think the thing is too, like, we should own up that the frameworks need to continue to get better themselves, right? Like, you know, we want people to be productive in their development environment, and so we do want to have features that make you productive, but we're only going to start introducing those when we feel it's at a level of, you know, some performance bar. And we have work to do to continue to make those productive, but it is interesting to see a lot of app developers favor their own productivity over, you know, millions of users' experience of that app. And, you know, it's something that developers should internalize a lot more, is like, yeah, maybe I do have to write more code to deliver a better experience and faster start time, or, you know, maybe my template shouldn't be as rich as I really need it to
Absolutely.
Be, and things like that.
And it's interesting because it's nice because we tie this into two interesting things. Mike Lee, who's a fantastic developer, writes iOS apps, he's a personal friend of mine, great speaker. One of the things he says is, developers take the pain so that users don't have to.
Exactly.
I
you
love
guys,
that. That's great.
It's beautiful. And it's really all about empathy.
Yeah.
Have empathy for your users. Don't, you know, don't make them sit through a bad experience because you had to use some advanced templating infrastructure that you thought was cool. Do the right thing for the people that are going to use your software. And that bleeds into the design panel we had, where the moral of that story was, when developers asked, how can I be a better designer? Be empathetic to the people who are going to use your software. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And nice that you brought it up.
And I think Chris hit on a good point too, is that one of the things we are trying to do is enable more tooling to help you, you know, feel a little bit more technically empathetic, because I think that's one thing that developers that I haven't seen a lot of developers take advantage of, is, you know, we want to be highly productive, we write apps, we want to put them in the store, be the first mover and things like that, and we never take the time to be like, well, how is this actually going to run, right? Like, I'm sitting on my quad core 7 multi-mon machine, it's like F5, looks good to me, ship it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe I should spend the $50 to get a Lumia 520 that's a low memory machine and run it and be like, wow, I really, maybe I should use the CCC event, you know, that's going to deliver a huge performance gain, and look at these analysis tools and correlate to be like, yeah, XAML's doing a lot more work than it should here. Why is that? Oh, that's my template that's causing the problem here.
Right on. Excellent. So this is all about you guys asking questions out there. So we have our first one from SP. As you have architected great XAML, do you have any plans XAML directly call web API JSON services without code behind, such as jQuery and HTML? So it's not a English speaker naturally.
No, that's great. Well, it's interesting, the wording of the question is that jQuery is a lot of code behind. And HTML, there is no way in HTML to call a JSON or web API. I mean, you can do JSONP and directly reference something, but that is largely terrifying to dynamically download code from somebody's website and then locally execute it. That's kind of scary. Yeah. But the interesting thing is, I think that people draw a line between HTML and JavaScript, where they naturally put script in line and they just sprinkle it in wherever they need it, and XAML, where there's a bigger distinction between the code behind in a C# file and the XAML markup. And we've done a lot of work in XAML to allow more and more code and more interactivity in the markup itself. And so people ask for features like this, which are very valid questions to have, because they want to co-locate the script effectively with the markup definition. And so I guess I would kind of turn that question around a little bit, which is that I don't think we want to get away from code, because I think code is what delivers that maximum experience per watt. I think we want to have it easier to bind in the XAML to the code you're writing, and the code you're writing is more directly accessible to the XAML. Whereas today there's a bunch of hops you have to kind of do to wire those together. I would hope we do something that gets those things a little easier to bridge the gap that we see in HTML.
Excellent.
I don't know, do you?
I agree.
Yeah. Cool. So Sharish wants to know, does XAML in Windows 8.1 code work in Windows 7 WPF desktop application, or do we need customization?
That's a fabulous question. I think there's a, the WinRT XAML is not accessible to desktop applications in Windows 8.1. So you have to write the UI again.
And especially not down-level to Windows 7.
Yeah.
So we got some parts of this question earlier, right?
It's
like, you know, the WinRT is built on other improvements in Windows as well that don't exist in Windows 7. So, you know, it's hard to decouple some of the optimizations of some things like our composition and aspects that just aren't there in Windows 7.
Absolutely. I mean, do you, and this kind of goes back to what we were jokingly, I jokingly said something like one XAML, right? One Microsoft, one Drive, one XAML. Do you foresee sometime in the future where there actually could be one XAML that runs in different runtimes, in different contexts? So WinRT,
of course.
Desktop, of course.
Okay.
I just want to, I mean, it's something that would be really quite interesting.
I think that, you know, in Windows 8, we have a we coupled a bunch of decisions together around app containers and security models and store distribution and programming models and windowing models and all of these other things. We put a bunch of these decisions together and we called one side the name of M, which cannot be spoken, and the other side we called desktop apps. And I think you see already in the keynote and the work that we've been doing in where we've taken the 8.1 experience and where we're going in future releases that we're starting to take those decisions and decouple them and make them be independent.
Excellent.
So Harry showed a demo that showed you being able to break out of your app container and call full-blown native .NET code to access LOB functionality. We saw Terry show some stuff where there was some hints at future windowing ideas that we were looking at decoupling that. And so I don't know if I necessarily say that the XAML we see today is going to suddenly light up in desktop. I'm just not sure how long that distinction between those two experiences are going to remain and which decisions are going to be where.
Awesome.
So
excellent. So Andre Abrantes wants to know, which improvements do we have in XAML apps when using DirectX 12?
When we have DirectX 12, I will be able to give you an awesome answer for that question. I've seen Forza 5 running in it. It looks really cool.
Right on. Right on. So how many, just out of curiosity, based on reality, how much are you seeing in practice people coupling XAML and DirectX, which of course you've been able to do since Windows 8 has been out? Are you seeing a lot of that?
Maybe a lot is relative. I think if when you look at the experiences of the people who have made that decision, you see like the amazing experiences that they're able to create and get the performance down to the metal that they desire. So Kirk Koenigsbauer showed Office, you know, an early version of Office, as a prime example. And they use a lot of DirectX. And they use a lot of XAML. And it's an amazing and a compelling experience to show that, you know, they're using the combination of C++ and a lot of Office-specific code, our UI platform in XAML, and they have, you know, kind of a DirectX layer that they use as well, all, you know, coupled together and interoperating and working well together to deliver an amazing experience. Every time we see it, it's kind of like, I smile every time thinking like, wow,
it's pretty darn awesome.
That's XAML, you know, it's like, it's, you know, it's impressive.
Awesome.
Well, we also see, we see a bunch of games starting to pick this up too, where they'll build their entire game engine using their existing set of frameworks and existing things, and then they want to put an app bar, they want to put a settings pane, and they want to use XAML for that PC UI, and so they can mix and match them in that way as well. Mm. And so we see a lot of evidence in the store that this is really taking off as a common way to build these apps.
Awesome.
So WalkUs would like to know, how do you think reactive XAML is in terms of performance? Reactive XAML.
I think he's talking about the Reactive UI framework, which is an open source project as well. I think actually, as I've looked, if that's the one that he's talking about, as I've looked at that, there are some pretty interesting concepts in there, ironically, that I think XAML developers would look at and say, well, that's not XAML. It's like, it actually, you know, shocking, it's more code. As an example, they have a way of doing binding that's not squiggly binding. You know, it's not markup binding. It's, you set up binding in code. Mm. And it's super lightweight and accomplishes much of the similar tasks that, you know, most people would use. So I think there's aspects of it that actually deliver some interesting concepts that build on top of code languages, not necessarily like markup UI type aspects. Mm. But there's also other things in a lot of the third-party frameworks. They're building on top of, you know, the public API surface area too. So they're using what they can leverage from there. And so when you think about the language things that Reactive uses in a lot of C# isms and you know, maybe some of those yield less performance than things like you would just natively directly do in C++ and things
sure.
like that. But we haven't looked at it in detail to kind of form an opinion officially. But there are some interesting concepts in there.
Excellent. And so this is, Boris asked a great question because it brings us back to what we also want to talk about was history. Yes. So Boris says, my first introduction was a 2006 Channel 9 video from Chris elaborating on styles.
I love styles.
I'm hooked ever since. Chris is my hero. Why are you not an architect anymore? I miss you. You are an architect. I like to think I am.
I have gone to the dark side somewhat and have a team, and I manage a group of people now. So I spend time managing people, which is good. And I've enjoyed it a lot more than I expected. It's quite fun. It's gotten me the ability to work with a lot of super smart people. I think that I think I do still architect. I spend a lot of time talking about code. I don't spend as much time typing code. Mm. It's terrifying when you realize that you spend more time in PowerPoint than in Notepad, but I'm fixing that.
Understood.
So
he does a good job walking the hallways and rattling cages and getting people to think different. So.
And being able to express complicated things in a way that people can understand. That's actually something that's you should be proud of. Now, going back to that 2006 interview, I remember at the whiteboard, both of us much younger, you had hair.
I did totally used to have hair. Yeah.
You had said that you were excited about the fact that XAML really represented the way that you wanted to stylize things, that it was the right approach versus what people were accustomed to with HTML and CSS. And so talk to me about that.
So it's very interesting because I've gone through an interesting learning arc over the past 5 years where I was the biggest supporter of C# and XAML and .NET, and I lived and dreamed that stuff. I loved that stuff. It was awesome. And I thought of JavaScript and HTML as messy and a toy and all this other stuff. And then I spent several years working on a bunch of different projects leading up to and then working on WinJS and booting up the W2Bay effort. And the thing I'll find is that, first off, I've learned to deeply love all of these technologies and how to use them. So like, I was recently working on a project where I wanted to do some API work. And so I started with a TypeScript definition of an interface, which I used by mocking out some APIs that I wanted to go program against. And then I wrote some JavaScript against those to see if the API felt right. And so I'd hack on some code, and I'd change the TypeScript definition and hack on the code. It didn't do anything yet, but it let me write that down. Then I took the JavaScript aside, and I took the TypeScript definition, and I translated it into C++. And I wrote a bunch of C++ implementation of that, and then went and wrote a sample app in C# that talked against that, because C++ gave me the best performance of the actual implementation of the API. TypeScript was the fastest way to write the API. JavaScript let me play with the API, and then C# was the fastest way to build the app.
Awesome.
And so they all worked together, and I think that it was it was so malleable and so easy to go between these things. It was awesome. When I think about the XAML style system specifically, I think there's some core things in the XAML style system which, for me, allow for better componentization, better potential performance optimizations. You know, all styles in HTML are global. Every time you change one of them, there's a complex process that the browser has to go through to try to calculate the damage to the entire tree to go re-render what it needs to. Whereas in XAML, you can have local styles. They can be scoped to a component. And you see things like there's a evolving web standard called Web Components, where people are looking at doing a component model for web. And you know, we tried this with HTC's in Microsoft. We tried this with, or the Zool guys over in Mozilla have done this. Like, there's a bunch of people who try to do this and try to come up with a solution. It's a really hard nut to crack, because part of HTML is transparency and these global rules, and when you break that, it really messes with the web model. And so from that perspective, there's a bunch of stuff about XAML for building large-scale systems, which I still think the styling system specifically has a lot of legs in it and does deliver a bunch of stuff better. But I've learned to love it all.
Right on. Right on. So let's get to some questions. Thanks for asking. Keep them coming. Sharish wants to know, what is the plan for portable IOC container that works on WPF desktop applications and Windows 8.1 applications?
I can't wait to see one on GitHub.
I think that's probably the best answer. You know, there's a lot of people that latch on to a lot of patterns that they know and love. And, you know, we want to make sure that in any framework we develop that we enable, like, the patterns that people like. But I don't think you'll see us deliver any specific implementation of any kind of known pattern that, you know, puts people down only a specific path, especially in this space. So, not working on it.
That's a great answer. Abdul wants to know, what are the enhancements in XAML for Windows 8.1 new update, and for Windows Phone 8.1. We sort of talked about this in our other thing, but we might as well rehash it.
Yes.
So what enhancements have you made in the...
In the Windows 8.1 update, there are really no SDK enhancements, public API surface area for XAML developers. There are performance enhancements that we did for low power devices, as well as just kind of optimizing some code paths that we saw trends in apps. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
We saw a lot of people who use images in their apps. And we actually have a feature that whenever you use an image, you can say, hey, decode to this size. And it's an opt-in feature. Maybe that was a bad design and it should have always been a default.
Sure.
And so in this release, we actually made it the default. If you don't specify anything, we're going to take the size that you specify of the image, and we're going to say that is also the decode size. And in some apps, we've seen memory usage decrease. I won't say the app names, but the most egregious I've seen was an app was, I think, was like 180 megs of image use memory usage dropped down to like 27.
Nice.
And it's an amazing, and the developer has to do nothing. Like, you know, it just the app running on this update just gets that.
Great.
With no impact to the app and no code changes, no recompile. So those are the optimizations we did in 8.1 Windows update. And of course in Phone 8.1, the big story there is bringing more of WinRT to the phone platform, both for Silverlight 8.1 apps as well as for WinRT XAML apps and native apps.
Awesome. So one quick question about compiling XAML with C++ underneath.
Yes.
So time. The time to compile a large XAML with C++ underneath. Has there been work done to optimize that experience?
Some, but not enough.
Some, but not enough. Okay, I just wanted to throw that out there.
XAML goes through, you know, if you have a .xaml file, it goes through a couple preprocessor passes to kind of generate some code for you, and then the C++ compiler takes over.
Yeah, great. Then you get to ride on that, which is a great ride.
Yeah.
Any chances XAML on other platforms besides the ones that it already runs on? That's what JB wants to know.
We like it on all the platforms. Windows on the phone, Windows on the desktop. No, I'm kidding. Nothing to talk about now.
But great questions. Thanks for asking them. Alex wants to know, will XAML have IntelliSense inside Blend like VS has with C#?
That's a good question for the tooling teams.
Understood. So these guys are like the XAML guys, the XAML eggheads is a nice way to say it. Vlad wants to know, is there any way to represent XAML in a form other than XML, something similar to JSON or CSS?
Nothing out of the box, although using the XAML reader writer APIs, you could probably write an implementation on top of whatever syntax you want, but there's nothing out of the box.
Okay. And how about taking XAML and converting it to HTML5 and vice versa?
Got that question earlier,
too. We did.
Too, yeah.
Is this you again, or did you ask that? Maybe you should answer this time. Is that?
Oh, I've seen people write a... x86 to JavaScript compiler. And so I believe anything is possible. I believe in the power of the computer and the insane creativity of the developers.
So. Amen to that, man. Amen to that. So Saqib wants to know, why are you so obsessed to use XML-like syntax and not use a strong type language, C#, F#, to create cleaner DSL, which can describe model application behavior style?
Oh. So I worked on a project, and we actually did sessions at a PDC that was called Oslo.
Oh, yes.
And it was all about DSLs. And so I've worked, I know and love this space with all of my heart. And I can say, good, next question.
Right. Not what happened to Oslo. Are there new APIs you could talk about? That's today's Vegas question. I love it. Let's assume that we're scoping it to XAML.
Oh, I was going to say create file 4.
Create file 4?
No, I'm kidding. Oh. I have no idea.
Internet get connected state 3.
Yeah. Okay. I think there's going to be new numbers added.
Cool. So we assume you're asking about Boris, XAML Boris.
You
mentioned there's nothing in the SDK.
Yeah,
right?
And in the Phone 8.1, there's a couple new controls in XAML. There's the pivot and the panorama.
Yeah. In the WinRT space, there's, you know, there's a whole bunch of new ones. There's like new ways of what we call control triggers on how you can react to things that happen in a background task, not just tile type activities and stuff. So yeah, there's a set of new WinRT APIs that are available for the Phone 8.1 release.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Sharish wants to know, does XAML support Cortana or voice app development? So is there sort of like a voice or Cortana control?
Well, as you saw in the keynote, so you can describe your app to be aware of Cortana commands or kind of to be able to trigger and say, you know, so like I have an app that's called, you know, Foo. I can annotate my phone app, my manifest to say like, hey, you know, Cortana, when you hear Foo, that's this app and you should launch this app and kind of pass that information along to me.
There's also, in the system, in WinRT, there's a text-to-speech engine, so you can do arbitrary voicing, you can have your app talk to people. There's WSR, which is the Windows Speech Recognition System, which allows you to take commands, and you can listen to those commands. And that's more of the kind of directed, specific grammar sort of thing. It's not the
natural language things.
And then also, of course, we have general accessibility support where you can use the narrator and you can read everything on the screen if you want. And one of the big improvements that we've made in Phone 8.1 is a lot of new work in the accessibility space, so a lot more of those narrator features work out of the box. And then XAML, of course, has built-in support for all of those features as well. So there's a lot of opportunity for doing natural language work in XAML.
Excellent. Ken wants to know, is there a punch list of WPF features, fixes, improvements that have been committed to that can be made public?
No.
This is Ken Foley. Right?
No.
Great.
We're constantly doing bug fixes. We get a, you know, we
triage. Every month, pretty much. We do a
release every month about.
But, I mean, the thing that we've made clear today is WPF exists.
Absolutely.
WPF is supported.
Yes.
WPF has a future.
Yes.
The desktop is not dead.
Yes.
Right on.
Love all of that.
So, Alvin Sloan, what is Foo? Everybody likes it. Nice. We use Foo a lot. You've written Foo how many times in your lifetime?
A lot of times. and Foo's cousin, Bar.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Trivia question. What's Baz after Baz?
Exactly.
Quax.
Yes.
And after points. That?
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
That's why you're a distinguished engineer.
So Foo, Bar, Baz, Bucks.
Quax.
Quax.
Q-U-X.
Q-U-X.
Interesting.
Yes.
I wonder how many people out there knew that. That's awesome.
There you go.
All right. So
learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Pedro wants to know, any change on XAML WPF to improve node tree size in terms of performance?
Yes.
Yes.
on the XAML WinRT side, this specifically was one of the big issues that we've been looking at is the size of the base dependency object, which is how you build the XAML tree. And so we've been looking at how we can shave every byte we can off of that data structure and looking at ways of packing the data and stuff that like some of our research teams have done in terms of some of the stuff. And so we're really looking deeply at how we can improve the per memory cost of this. And so some of those changes did make it in for the phone update, which also got into the Spring 14 update for update 1 for 8.1 as well. So there's definitely improvements there.
Anything else?
That's
nope.
Exactly
correct.
And we continue to invest in that area. So
awesome. Ken wants to know, what can be done to make jumping the gap from WPF XAML to WinRT XAML easier?
What can be done for you, the developer,
yes,
or for what we could do to make it easier? Like, I know I can think of lots of things that we should do to make that easier.
Then let's start there.
Because I think, again, we're not committing to any features, nor are we talking about future plans here, but I think there's a ton of stuff that we need to do to bridge the gap between XAML and WPF. How do we make interop better between the two? How do we do this? You asked the question about XAML on the desktop. Like, I think that there is... we need to be looking at how those two things can coexist and how you can migrate between them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, you know, whether we do that between via interop or via some form of hosting mechanism, like I think that's what we need to go do that. Mm-hmm. It's I don't believe it's possible to take WPF XAML and run it on XAML WinRT because the behaviors have changed enough, the controls have changed enough, the implementation has changed enough that the thing that people love about XAML, about WPF, is that it's compatible. They have existing code, existing investments, and that's the value of that code base. And so I don't think we can just do wildly port people. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to do migration, build bridges, that's what we have to do. You, the developer, can do stuff by building in a layer where you say, look, I'm going to have a WPF view and a XAML view. Excellent. Architect better.
So on that note, unfortunately, we have to end. This could just keep on going. I wish it could. But now it's time for people to watch Orleans and learn about how research ends up in powering a very compute-intensive cloud with a lot of distributed stuff going on. So check out Orleans. Thank you guys for
coming
on. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Cheers, man.